Well, we're handing out presents today, so I figured I'd have one more present right here, another gift. It's in Christmas wrapping here, but I have a nice little gift. It's been up here. I don't know if anyone noticed it or not. So let's imagine for a second that you went to a Christmas party. You're on your way to a Christmas party, and you received a gift at a Christmas party. Let's say this gift right here. And you got the gift, and you're at this party, and everybody's getting a gift. One of those work, you know, gift exchange things that are kind of awkward. Everyone brings a gift, gets a gift, all that stuff. So everyone gets a gift, and this is your gift that you get. And so you get the gift, and you say, "Thank you so much for giving me this gift. I am so thankful that you gave me this gift. Let me tell you, I am just so thankful for you, for everything you did in giving me this gift right here. You know, I'm better off now than I was before I had this gift. I am just so thankful for this gift." And so you take it and you look at it and you shake it around a little bit, see what's in it. Maybe you take it to the doctor and get an x-ray so you can see what's inside the gift. And you look at it and you're like, "Ah, I see. Now I understand exactly what's inside the gift." And then you take it with you places. You tuck it under your arm. And you walk around and you go, "Hey, let me tell you about this gift. Let me tell you how wonderful this gift is right here." And you start telling people how great life was before you had the gift and how better it is now after you have the gift. What's the problem? You got to open the gift, right? A gift is only a gift if you open the gift. All you've done is admire the wrapping paper and told the giver how thankful you are that they gave you this gift. Now maybe you make the connection here. This is what we do to the Holy Spirit all the time. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we're so thankful for the Holy Spirit. We're so thankful for it. Our life is so much better now than it was before. Have we opened up the gift of the Holy Spirit? Have we truly sought the Holy Spirit living in us to do the work of the Holy Spirit in this world? Or have we just studied and admired the gift? "I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm so much better because of the Holy Spirit." We spend time in Acts, the book of Acts, reading about the Holy Spirit. You know, the book is called the Acts of the Apostles, but really it's the act of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit does in the book of Acts. Powering people to perform miracles, changing lives, preaching the good news of Jesus. And we read that and we say, "Wow, the Holy Spirit really did amazing things back then." Well, did the Holy Spirit change? The answer is no. No, the Holy Spirit didn't change. The Holy Spirit didn't change. So what has happened? Why do we have this gift that's just wrapped up? We never open it and seek the Holy Spirit. Even the language that we use kind of minimizes the Holy Spirit. You know, we love thanking the Father. "Thank you, Father, for your goodness. You are a perfect and holy Father. And thank you, Jesus, for being that perfect sacrifice for us." And what does the Holy Spirit get? One Sunday a year with nice red cloth, all right? And nice red shirts and whatever. It's kind of the forgotten one. He's kind of the forgotten of the Trinity, right? God exists, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But he's kind of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, good. Him too. Even the language we use, right? We say it. No, it's not it. Holy Spirit is he. He is God. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? You know, the disciples were with Jesus and they're like, "Jesus, don't go." And Jesus says, I got to go. And they say, "No, don't go. Wherever you go, we will follow you. We promise." Well, that doesn't work out. But they say, "Wherever you go, we will follow you." And Jesus says, "No, it's better. It's better that I leave so that the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, can come so to empower you to do works for the kingdom, greater works than I have even done." Think about that for a second. Jesus says it's better that the living God walking among us should leave so that the Holy Spirit can come into our midst and dwell with us. You know, we're always talking about Can't wait for Jesus to come back, right? We want Jesus to come back. He's going to restore all things. He's going to make all things new. How many people in their life sometimes have been excited about Jesus coming back? I've been excited about it. Good. Now, how many times have you been excited about having the living Spirit of God inside of you? Less times or more times than you've been excited for Jesus to come back? I don't know. For me, it'd be less, for sure. I would say less. Because we're always thinking of, oh, Jesus is going to come back. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. But we forget why Jesus left in the first place. So we could have the Holy Spirit living in us and draw us together and knit us together. And all we have is an unopened gift from God. The Holy Spirit is not just a nice thing until Jesus comes back. He is essential for our faith today. So there's two things I want to do today. I want to look at some truth from the Scriptures of who is the Holy Spirit. And I want to look in the book of Acts and see what happens when a group of people are empowered by the Holy Spirit and listen and do what the Holy Spirit tells them to do. And this unopened gift is going to stay here and maybe not fall as a reminder to us of that. So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is given to all believers. Scripture tells us we are filled with the Holy Spirit inside of us, living in us. When we confess Jesus as Lord, the Spirit comes down as it did on Pentecost and fills all the believers. Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit gives us gifts for the sake of the body. We call these spiritual gifts. And there are many, many spiritual gifts: teaching, preaching, evangelism, hospitality, all sorts of different things. You can probably take 100 spiritual gift surveys and find out what your spiritual gift is. But Scripture promises us, everybody who's a believer in Christ has at least one spiritual gift. One gift. And that gift is not for God, that gift is for us, the people. We use these gifts of the Spirit to help each other draw closer to each other and closer to God by the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. We have the Father, we have the Son, we have the Holy Spirit. Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's not the Father. But they are all God. All God. The Holy Spirit permanently, listen to that, permanently dwells in the believer. Permanently lives inside the believer. So, we talked about this Tuesday morning at Bible study, if you were there at Bible study. In the Old Testament times, Moses and David and Solomon, many others, had the Holy Spirit come on them in power. And then the Holy Spirit would go, and then come on them again, and then go. But we don't have that in the New Testament. We have the Holy Spirit continually, permanently living in us, dwelling in us. So that means right now, even though it doesn't seem like it, it may not feel like it, right now you can have a more intimate relationship with God than even David or Saul or Abraham or any of them, because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. God Himself is in you as a believer in Christ. That's a powerful thing. That's an amazing thing to think about. I know I look at David, and David was a man after God's own heart. And I say, oh, that's good. I want to be that. And we miss the fact that we have the Holy Spirit living in us today. So what does the Holy Spirit do in our midst? Here's a few things. There's probably many more, but I'm just going to hit a few. First, He puts in our heart a desire to turn to Christ. He puts in our heart a desire to turn to Christ. Read from John chapter 16, verse 8. It says this: when He comes, the Holy Spirit, He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. Even before we knew who Jesus was, even before we knew that we were sinners, the Holy Spirit was at work convicting us of our sin. Even before you ever turned to Christ and bow your knee to Him, the Spirit was at work in your life, because even though you didn't know it, you didn't know it. And once you have turned and the Spirit convicts and shows, then you can call sin, sin, and truth, truth, and follow after Christ. It reveals to us the things that we couldn't see before. We couldn't see that sin and darkness in us. You know, I have a friend on Facebook. We went to seminary together. He's about my age, maybe a little older. And he's colorblind. He's colorblind. He's a pastor in New England. He's in New England, right? He's in New England. I'm looking at my wife up there. He's in New England. And he's colorblind. His whole life he's colorblind. He couldn't see the color purple is what he couldn't see. And his church got together and they got him these special glasses that can see the color purple. I forget what they're called, like monochromatic glasses, something like that. And so there's this video of him online. He puts on these glasses for the very first time and they hand him a purple balloon. And he'd never seen purple before. And he holds this balloon and he goes, "Is that purple?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he starts crying. So he'd never seen that color before. For the first time in his life, 35, 36 years old, he saw purple. In that same way, the Holy Spirit, when He convicts us and shows us our sin, we understand the depth of our sin and we look at that and we go, "Oh, that's sin. That's sin. Look how ugly that is to God." But in that same breath, He shows us the love of God. He doesn't just leave us in that sin. He shows us that love. And so we're able to see that beautiful color, that beautifulness of God in His love and mercy. So the Holy Spirit convicts us. It puts in our heart a desire to turn to Christ. And even as believers, as we continue on, when we have sin in our life, the Holy Spirit continues to convict us and show us that sin that we might confess. Once we turn, the Holy Spirit is the assurance that Christ dwells in us. The assurance that Christ dwells in us, that we are children of God. One of the first things I ever learned when I became a Christian, at least growing up and learning more, was through Campus Crusade, was faith is not a feeling. Have you heard that before? Your faith is not a feeling. Whether you feel it or not, if you profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Spirit is living in you. You have salvation. And some days you don't feel it. Some days you just feel down. Some days you don't feel it. But that doesn't mean God has left you. Not at all. Faith is not a feeling. And the Holy Spirit is the assurance of that salvation. Jesus tells us in John 14, 26, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." The Holy Spirit helps us live in obedience to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Everything we just finished on the Sermon on the Mount, all those teachings of Jesus, we cannot do those in our own power. We must have the Holy Spirit to empower us, to help us, to remind us, to teach us, to live into the things that Jesus said. What else? Let me turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. He says, "You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." As people of the Holy Spirit, we are united together. Somebody prayed that earlier in our time of prayer. We are united together. We are knit together. You can go from here to Australia, Australia to Russia, Russia to England, to all over the world, and anyone who professes faith in Jesus Christ is your brother and sister. We are knit together. We may not speak the same language, but we worship the same God. We worship Jesus, and we have the Spirit as that assurance that knits us together. And as one body, as a church who comes together, the Spirit knits us together, not in our own power, certainly not. Certainly not. We have our own selfish things that we want, but we lay them down for the power of the Spirit to knit us together in that way. It's a powerful image. He says, Christ is the cornerstone, and this house is being built, and God lives by His Spirit in that house. He lives in you and does a good work in you. A few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, I talked about one of the tenets of our faith, the ECC, the Evangelical Covenant Church, tells us about a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit. It means continually, consciously thinking and depending on the Holy Spirit in every single part of our life. And so I asked the question that we should go before God every single day and say, "Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in and through me today? What do you want to do in and through me today?" And I think the church in the book of Acts asked that question. They said, "Holy Spirit, what will you do? What will you do?" And so I looked at the book of Acts this week, and I pulled out four or five different things that I see that it looks like when a church, when a person, when a community of believers opens up the gift, allows the Holy Spirit to fill them and lead them instead of going in their own power. The first thing I see is this: there is no routine. There is no routine. If you go to Paul in the book of Acts, if you could magically transport back there and talk to Paul in the midst of his missionary journey and say, "Paul, tell me what a typical day looks like for you," he would have no answer. He would say, I don't have a typical day. I wake up, I trust my day to God. Wherever God in the Spirit tells me to go, that's where I go. If He tells me to go to the right, I go to the right. If He tells me to go to the left, I go to the left. There was no routine for Paul. He went as the Spirit led him. This was literally uncharted ground for Christianity. He was spreading the good news. And he was listening to the Spirit every step of the way. He didn't say, "Well, that's not what we do," or "That's what we do." No, that kills the Spirit. That squelches the Spirit. Instead, every day I see him waking up and saying, "What do you want me to do today? I am your vessel. Pour into me. Pour into me. If you want me to go to the left, I'll go to the left. You want me to go to the right, I'll go to the right." There was no routine for Paul. And that's a good thing. The Spirit led him to places off the map, literally off the map. And it kept him moving constantly, listening for what was going on. The second thing I see, the mark of a Holy Spirit-led group or a person, is a deep, rich love for the Word of God. They loved the Word of God. They didn't just read the Word of God, they loved the Word of God. And every time they preached, Stephen, Paul, whoever it was, every time they preached, when they would share their testimony, they would surround it with what? The Word of God. The Word of God. They were continually talking about the Word of God, continually showing in the Scriptures how Jesus was true. They loved the Word of God. You cannot have a Spirit-filled life without a deep love for the Word of God. I confess, I think. And it's more than a feeling. It's more than just opening up the Scripture and saying, "Well, you know, what does this mean to me? That's pretty good. I put it down." It's a rich understanding and studying of the Word of God that reveals Jesus on every page. The third thing I see, they had no divided loyalties. No divided loyalties. Not with each other, not with government, not with anything. Paul says, "I was a Roman citizen. I could call upon my citizenship anytime I wanted, but I don't, because I choose to profess Christ instead." And that kind of made them have almost erratic behavior, right? I mean, they were going from one place to the next and saying one thing and going here and going there, and you couldn't even hardly keep track of them. That would drive me nuts. Right? I like order. I'm a type A personality. I like order to things. I like this and that. But when you listen to the Holy Spirit, He's not a God of disorder, don't get me wrong, but sometimes He calls you to A and then Z and then Q and then you get to B eventually. As you open the gift of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you, you never know where you're going to go. The fourth thing I see is they saw miraculous things constantly. Constantly. It wasn't just a once-in-a-lifetime miracle. They constantly were experiencing miraculous things. And I don't think it's because God was working more then than He is now. I think it's because they were actually listening to the Holy Spirit. They're actually listening and saying, "Let me get up, my normal thing that I'm doing, and go and follow the Holy Spirit. And let's watch these miraculous things happen." The fifth thing I see is that all the believers used their gifts. Men, women, children, everyone had a spot. Everyone had a place. You know, I was a youth pastor, and so I always said, you know, the youth are the church of today as well as the church of the future. Right? They don't become like more grown-up Christians later. Our little children are not more grown-up Christians, they're Christians. They have gifts, they have talents, they have abilities that given by the Spirit. Let's help find those and use those for the glory of God. The sixth thing I see is they constantly saw lives transformed. People were transformed continually around them. Paul is the perfect example, the man who hated Christians, who killed them, thought he was doing the work of God by killing Christians. He's brought to his knees and transformed. They constantly saw this. All these are the marks I see, and probably many more, of a church, of a community, of a group of people, of a person who's listening to the Holy Spirit, who's following to the left or to the right, wherever God leads. I want to end with this thought today. If you picked up this book, we handed these out last week, 30 Days of Prayer during Ramadan. We have a few copies left in the back in the on the welcome table there, so feel free to grab one. June 1st, I want to read a little bit from June 1st. This was the prayer thing. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned in here by name, but clearly the Holy Spirit is at work in what this story says about June 1st. All right, this is from a church in Lebanon, the Middle Eastern country, Lebanon. The war in Syria triggered a massive wave of refugees who are mainly accommodated in surrounding countries. Prior to this, in 2014, conflict flared up in Iraq, also creating hundreds of thousands of new refugees. Many of these refugees have fled to Lebanon, where Lebanese churches have dedicated themselves to caring for them, changing themselves in the process. One church in Lebanon had 300, now get this, 300 Syrian refugees and 300 Iraqi refugees join their church of 200. Can you imagine that? You're gathered together as 200 people worshiping God, and suddenly 600 people walk in the door. 600 people walk in the door. And I share this story because, first off, that's unbelievable, right? 600 people being moved out of their place and going into Lebanon in this way, but also for that church in Lebanon, the church that was there. They had two options at that moment. They could have said, hey, our church is too small. You know, there's other churches down there. This is what we do. We're going to hang out like this. And they could have closed the doors to them and said, no thanks. Go get Jesus elsewhere. Or they could have changed themselves in the process, is what it says. I love that. That's the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit at work was changing them along the way, showing them, hey, here are 600 brothers and sisters who need a place to worship God. And they opened the doors and totally changed what they did because the Spirit led them in that way. You can grab this and read on. It tells another story of how they continued to change and listen to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit was telling them to do. But I just want to leave us with that thought. This church that received these people, I think, it doesn't say here, but I think they had to be ready to receive those people first. I think they had to prepare their hearts and prepare their minds and prepare themselves by the power of the Holy Spirit to listen and be attentive to whatever God was going to send their way, whoever God was going to send their way. I don't think this just happened overnight for them where they just said, well, we'll just welcome them in. Great. But they worked at it. They listened. They allowed the Holy Spirit to fill them up, to lead them and guide them. They opened up the gift. And they said, Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, rain down on us. And what a gift this has been to these refugees who have fled. Now, I don't know if God's going to bring 600 people to our church. I have no idea. But the point is this, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. That we may constantly keep our head on a swivel, look to the left and to the right, be constantly talking to God through the Holy Spirit that lives in us to what God has for us next. What God has for us next. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in and through us today? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, what a precious gift you are. Sent by the Father to fill us up as an assurance of our salvation. Thank you for the gifts that you give us, the gifts of your Spirit. And Lord, help us to be people and a church who are constantly speaking with you, communing with you, listening intently and carefully to your Spirit, to what you have, Lord, where you would call us next, who you would like to welcome into our church, Lord, into our homes, into our families. Help us not just carry around the gift and be thankful for it, but to open up the gift, to let the Holy Spirit reign in our lives, to guide us, to not be stuck in routine, to not be stuck in the day-to-day, but to know that you could call us at any moment and we should be prepared to go. Lord, help us where we fall short in that way and fill us afresh today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.